You can learn a lot about the character and culture of a region through the novels, short stories, and fiction written by its local authors. There's the dark humor of the Southern Gothic tradition and the adventure of countless pioneer stories set in the American West. But the Midwest hasn't always had a cohesive literary identity, despite producing some of the country's most famous storytellers. That's one of the reasons our next guest was excited to dig into the literary history of her home state. Anna Clark is a freelance journalist and writer living in Detroit and is the author of Michigan's Literary Luminary. She joins us by phone now. Welcome to Current State, Anna.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Sure. What made you want to write this book?
Oh, well, just as you were saying in the introduction, I think there's a really rich literary culture here that we have, and we have a lot to be proud of here in Michigan and certainly the Midwest more broadly. But it's a story that we haven't really told about ourselves, certainly not on the level that we've celebrated our music heritage or our visual arts heritage. And I just felt that the stories of our storytellers are ones worth telling.
Mm. Name a few of the authors that you chose to profile in this book and why you chose them. I mean, what exactly qualifies someone as a literary luminary here in Michigan?
Well, one of the things that haunts me is that the book is in no way able to touch on all the immensely talented writers that we've produced here. But I did spend a lot of time focusing on Ernest Hemingway, of course, in the North Woods, Elmore Leonard in Detroit, the poet Theodore Roeke from Saginaw, Robert Hayden, the first African-American poet, U.S. poet laureate, who is from Detroit, and a number of others. I think when you're talking about, like, what qualifies people as, you know, sort of, you know, as being a sort of literary luminary, like, I think that I didn't mean this book to be sort of like a countdown of, like, the very best writers exactly, but I did want to focus on people who were doing really thoughtful, introspective work in a variety of genres, a variety of styles and eras, who do work that accounts for the place that they come from in some way.
As I mentioned earlier, there are some regions of the country that have really identifiable, defining literary traditions. Why do you think the Midwest has arguably lacked that same kind of cohesive literary identity?
Well, it's certainly not for the lack of producing extraordinary writers or those writers focusing on this place in their work. I mean, there are just legions of, like, some of the very best work of the, you know, past 100 years and beyond that have been embedded in this place. And I think, you know, I was really thinking a lot about that, about why this isn't something that's, like, known and recognized even by ourselves in a certain way. I think it has to do with a number of things. I think one of them is that the Midwest is such a broad region, you know, with really, you know, like, where the borders of the Midwest are themselves kind of up for debate, you know? Like, people might question whether, I don't know, South Dakota counts as the Midwest.
Right.
And so I think some of that porousness is part of why that that cohesive tradition hasn't developed in some way. And also because there's just such a diversity of writers that have come from here. I mean, that, you know, the writers who focus on, like, our, you know, grand old cities like Chicago and Detroit, you know, are in many ways different than those who focused on, like, the rural landscapes, you know, in Winesburg, Ohio, or in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and you know, trying to, like, put them next to each other, you know, can you know, maybe, like, present some kind of simplifications of their work that, like, don't quite make sense. I mean, you just got to acknowledge that they're really different kinds of writers, even if they come from the same kind of region. On the other hand, I feel like there are commonalities that I think we can recognize when we look at these writers. And some of that would be, for example, that, you know, whether they're in, you know, small town writers or big city writers, their work is, you know, has a very particular attention to the landscape they're in. You know, like, there's a real nuanced eye on the people, the landscape, the just the natural world, you know, that's around them, and that I think is, you know, very unique to a lot of Midwestern writers. And I think there's another commonality, I think, is that, and this is like an idea I've borrowed from the Kalamazoo writer, Bonnie Jo Campbell, is that there's something in the work of Midwestern writers that is informed by some of that, like, Southern Gothic tradition, because Michigan is a state that has been, you know, and that has been so impacted by the Great Migration from the South, you know? I mean, and some of that eye has, like, informed our own literary tradition up here in the North, you know, including how we treat our eccentrics, you know, the characters in our communities who are a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And I think that shows up in a lot of the work of some of these writers.
Our guest is Anna Clark, a freelance journalist and writer living in Detroit and the author of Michigan's Literary Luminaries. We're talking about what may constitute a Midwest literary identity here for Michigan and the broader Midwest as well. To play off on that last point, Anna, it does seem like in recent years there's been a growing interest on the literary history and traditions of the region as a Rust Belt. What do you think might be driving that interest?
Yes, absolutely. I think part of what's like driving that is simply the last 10 years or so, 15 years or so have been really hard in this region of the country. And as your listeners well know, I mean, the recession has hit us so deeply, and we've been going through, you know, a generation's worth of, like, you know, economic restructuring, and the kind of uncertainty that's, like, brought to us has, you know, it's just been transformative in very painful ways often. And I think that that's also, like, propelled this region into the national, even international spotlight in some ways. I'm here in Detroit, and that's, of course, you know, been making headlines, you know, for, you know, since about 2009 or so, especially when the automakers were, you know, in Washington, D.C. And I think that's kind of created an opportunity for a lot of the writers here to start reflecting on what their identity is here in this place, to start thinking about, like, what stories, even, you know, when there's a lot of journalism covering the area, what stories are not yet told, who are the people whose voices are not yet, you know, given space. And I think that's, like, and then I think that's also given some opportunities for writers to even, you know, get their work out there. Writers who've been, you know, telling these stories all along, but now that there's been this, like, greater interest in this region, they're having opportunities to, like, publish and get that work out there in a new way.
You're an avid reader and a literary journalist yourself, so I'm sure you knew some of the history of Michigan storytellers before you started writing the book. But was there anything you came across that really surprised you while writing the book?
Yes, so much. And that was actually a lot of the fun, was, like, doing some of the plain old reporting, you know, and having that discovery, you know, propel this book. A few things really surprised me. One was how long it took the communities in northern Michigan to really, like, embrace its Hemingway legacy. It was something that was, you know, not kept secret exactly, but, like, just it wasn't really put at the forefront of the local heritage until, you know, really in the last 10 years or so. And, you know, a lot of that can be credited to a group of volunteers called the Michigan Hemingway Society that have been, you know, made it their mission to make sure that all the local libraries have books by Hemingway, things like that, you know. And it just surprised me that it took a while, you know, for that to really be something that the communities there rallied around. And another thing that really, well, I don't know if it was a surprise, but it was such a welcome discovery, was one of the authors I spent a lot of time with in the book. Her name's Harriet Simpson Arno. I had never heard of her before, but she's incredible. And she was really well-known and acclaimed in her time. She's been too easily forgotten, I think. I mean, she kept being a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize, a National Book Award. She's a bestseller. She kept losing to Faulkner, unfortunately, in some of those big prizes. but she's this wonderful writer. She came from Kentucky, part of that southern migration north, lived a little while in Detroit, and then most of her, the last half of her life around Ann Arbor. And her work is just like The Dollmaker. It's one of her best known novels. It just has, like, this wonderful ear for the voices of this place. And the different kinds of characters that call it home.
We've got less than a minute, Anna, but I do want to ask you about Write a House. You're involved in, this is a literary project in Detroit that's really interesting. Tell us quickly about that.
Sure. We're a nonprofit that purchases longtime vacant homes in Detroit. We renovate them with the help of vocational education programs, and we have a competitive contest where for writers where we the winner literally gets to keep the house forever for keeps. We gave away our first house to a poet from Brooklyn who moved in November. She's doing wonderfully. We're currently in the process of giving away our second house. We're announcing our 10 finalists next month.
How interesting. My gosh, I've never heard of anything like that. That is fabulous. I'm afraid we're out of time, but we want to stay in touch with you, especially about the Write a House project. Fascinating. We've been talking about Michigan's literary past and future. I beg your pardon, with Anna Clark, author of the book Michigan Literary Luminaries and a freelance journalist living in Detroit. Anna, thanks much for joining us.
Thank you. It was wonderful.